Well, a warm welcome to everyone. I mean a warm welcome. We actually hit 50 degrees Fahrenheit yesterday in Calgary. So I have shed my winter coat. It's a real treat to be with you and also to be able to work with Larry this morning on our program here together. In this moment, we do find ourselves in, or many I would say, in challenging and trying times. There's a lot of fear, angst, and turmoil and uncertainty out there. But we bring calm, perspective, and assurance. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Here in the North Country, spring is on our doorstep. The other day I looked out the our kitchen window. We have a mountain ash tree, beautiful tree, and it puts out these berries in the fall, big clusters of these orange berries. And the deer come and feed on them in the autumn. The other day, though, I looked out and I've never seen so many robins in my life in one tree. And they were feasting happily on these berries. It was truly a robin tree, and that's the sign of spring in this part of the world. Our prayer today is, in essence, may our thoughts be your thoughts. May our words be your words. To begin with, I want to go back to our last meeting in which Christina introduced us to radiant conversation. She mentioned that people were sensing a new cycle, an evolution in a sense from what we had called dialogue. She alluded to more of a family conversation. What would spirit bring forth now? New forms may appear. So, in the spirit of what Christina brought on behalf of our coordinating people, we're going to bring a new form of radiant family conversation to you this morning. Podcasting. Apparently, social media channels are continuing to decline across all of the channels, apparently. And people are gravitating to what are called micro channels. They're getting tired of the noise and constant scrolling. They want to be with other people who they know, trust, and like. Isn't that interesting? So welcome to today's edition of the Intelligent Life Detective Podcast. Coming to you exclusively today through this Tone of Life channel. My special guest today is Christine Jonas. I'm going to take a look into her current insights, feelings as she navigates a very full life of connection and service. And I'm sure she's going to afford me the same opportunity as well. So, welcome, Christine. I must say, I always appreciate your very warm and energetic spirit. You laugh and smile more than anyone I know. I've heard it described as being infectious. Previously, you and I worked together for over 30 years in a nuts, candy, and chocolate business, and you were a business owner. Now, after our moving out of that business, you are working in women's high fashion in a high fashion women's clothing store. You often refer to this as your secret service. What do we mean by that?
First of all, why work in a high-end clothing store? I'll tell you the honest truth. It was the only resume that was answered out of about 200 I sent out in a 4 or 5 month period. So, in my joy, I thought this must be the one. And so I took it and ran with it. While my job is no longer of management or being a boss or ownership, as Alan said, I was right out there in our company for many, many years. Now I'm just an employee. And so I thought, okay, well, let's let my light shine in secret here and see what happens in this store. Didn't stay secret for very long, as you can imagine. I heard comments like, where have you been our whole, like the last number of years? We've been searching for somebody like you for a long time. Or, I'm so glad you're here today. I'm not feeling good. I need a little boost. Your positivity is always wonderful. And then a couple of days ago, the computer system crashed while we were trying to process these five clients. And the owner who happened to be there said, let Christine deal with the IT guy. She's always so calm and never gets flustered. I had them fooled. I was the hero. I didn't do anything. I was on the phone with the IT guy with this very, very direct radiation that all will be well, while all around me was flustered people. And guess what? Presto, press a few buttons, done. So, a hero in secret. Also being in the mall where the store is brings many challenges, as you can imagine, emotionally speaking and physically speaking. And I thrive on that. I thrive on the seemingly innocent, mundane interaction with the lady in the coffee line or the seemingly insurmountable task of getting the computer system back on. I love it all. Alan, I noticed that you've got a tiger behind you. Can you tell me about that?
You noticed.
Yeah.
Yes, this is Tara, the white tiger. And I've invited her along today as a symbolic representation of the wild animal kingdom, I guess you'd say. And this is response to a program I was listening to on the TV the other day. Wildlife conservation projects around the world are reeling from the administration's abrupt decisions to shut down funding for nature and wildlife preservation. In the US, executive orders will be affecting national parks and wildlife particularly in staffing cuts, and ending the Endangered Species Act, quite likely. They're also, the administration is also allowing new permits for oil and gas drilling on public lands. The new mantra is drill, baby, drill.
No.
I don't know if you heard about the story of the tariffs. That apparently there was a listing of countries worldwide who would be paying these new tariffs or would be receiving these new tariffs. These included the Little Island, Little McDonald, and Heard Islands, which are off the coast of Australia towards Antarctica. And interestingly enough, these islands, they've been assessed with a 10% tariff. The only life on these islands basically are penguins and other seabirds. So if these penguins start
Funny.
making stuff and they're going to try to export it, somebody's going to pay for it.
That's funny.
Some would say that, well, that all that's being done there, this funding and so on, and comes worldwide, this is just window dressing anyway. Well, I say, even if that window is open a little crack, that's how the light gets in. I have a brief little video to show you. So, Sanford, if you could cue that up.
Hello, it's lovely to
Hi.
see you again. So, shall we explain what happened?
Yeah.
Well, I went to your school to surprise you and tell you were going to be auditioning for Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's so cute.
Was it a nice surprise?
Yeah! How could
Yeah.
that not be a good surprise? That's an excellent surprise!
So, Anishwa, tell us how old you are.
7 years old.
And what is your big passion in life?
I care about the environment a lot.
Okay, we're all rooting for you. The stage is yours, Anishwa.
Okay, thank you!
I really wanted to do well.
There's no other planet like Earth. It holds plants and flourishes life. It is an amazing creation, a real inspiration. There's no other planet like Earth. The sad stuff, we've been getting it wrong for much, much, much too long. Cutting down trees, polluting the seas, poaching the animals for accessories. We need to stop getting it wrong. I wish you could see the Tasmanian tiger in its very special, unique attire. The bats and the flying squirrels glide in the open skies, and we can catch the beauty forever in our eyes. The gorgeous peacocks stand their way. The fantastic golden eagles glide in display. But there's no other planet like Earth.
Well done.
What a beautiful little boy. So, Alan, you also mentioned in your intro that you are a intelligent life detective.
Yes, let me explain. When people ask me what I'm doing now after we sold our business, I say to them, I've been repurposed. I'm an intelligent life detective now. Now, it's a fun way to start conversations, for one thing. And it goes something like this quite often. People say, well, are you looking for intelligent life out in the universe? And I say, no, I think it's totally brimming with life out in the universe. Intelligent life. And then they say, well, are you trying to hook up with what people with high IQs or something? So I say, no, it's not that. Mm-hmm. Well, what is it then? And I say something like, well, I want to connect up with people who sense and identify with the tone of life. And of course, some people I've lost by then, but in a lot of cases, people respond really well to the tone of life. You know, there's so many ways to work with the tone. Music, emotions, qualities of character. So this is how I spend a lot of my time now. Of course, detectives do a lot of investigating, observing, and reporting. Well, that's what I do a lot of. I document things as well. I tend to make a lot of notes. I visit mainstream media, documentary films, spend quite a bit of time on YouTube podcasts. Boy, there's a lot of great stuff on YouTube these days. But I'm always looking for the tone in expression. I'm happy to report that there's a lot of it going on. As well, of course, Christine and I are involved in something like 10 different and unique Zoom gatherings, all carrying and dedicated to the tone of life expression, I would say. But this here is home base for us. I would mention also, and you may find this, my neighborhood. We live in a condo complex, not a large one, about 60 units. Over the years, Christine and I have been quite involved with serving on the board, and that's a great way to meet a lot of the people. Within the last year, and serving on the board last year, for instance, as an example, I met a very fine lady who is an immigrant here from Turkey. And at one point, she asked me if I would like to have coffee with her. And she explained to me that her partner of 18 years had left her almost overnight without any warning. And she was really feeling a lot of, well, of course, very strong emotions around this and so on. And it was a great opportunity. This woman has an incredibly, incredible open heart. And moving into a look at angelic identity with her was just so natural. And I know it made a lot of difference to her. She says now, Alan, you're the only person I can talk to like this in my life. And so we're getting together quite regularly. And another example is a couple of doors down. There's a young man who comes to live with his mother for a while each year. He's in his early 30s. He was born with cerebral palsy. And so it's affected his gait very much. He's, you know, he walks off balance and he has to struggle quite a bit with that. It's affected his speech. You have to be patient and listening to him speak and so on. But I connected up with him, and he started coming over for to sit down with me on my deck out back, and we would have lunch together. And wow, this young man, having been what he's been through, what an open heart and what a deep interest he has had in hearing about my life experience. In fact, being with him at times was just like I felt like I was downloading all my experience. And he was just welcoming it. And again, same thing he said, no one's ever been able to talk to me this way. I've been looking for someone for so long that I could talk to in this way. He told me everything about how his father left at when he was very young because he couldn't handle the situation and so on, and many things about his life. So I have a deep heart connection with this young man as well. That is my neighborhood. I've been thinking a lot about what we often say. We're not alone. We're certainly not. We know the very, very important role we play in things. But I also love the term transcendent nation. I believe it was introduced by Martin some, I think, about 40 years ago. Well, things have moved a lot since then. There is a transcendent nation. As things seem to be falling apart in the world and so on, there is something being born. And I celebrate that with you and
Thank
as
you.
an intelligent life detective. So, Christine, I hear you talking a lot lately about the magic of emotion. Tell us about that.
I have been thinking a lot about our emotions, and I've come to the fact that they are magical. Emotions connect us in ways I don't, couldn't even begin to understand. So, of course, in preparation for this and other things, lots of emotions come up, and I want to be real about the emotions and what they can do for us. I don't know if many of you recall, but last August, two young hockey players, Matthew and Johnny Gaudreau, were sadly killed by a drunk driver in their little town outside of Philadelphia. Some of you may remember this, but the reason I bring it up is that Johnny Gaudreau paid for the Calgary Flames for a number of years and was a very bright, authentic, philanthropic young man, and surprised many, many people with his givingness at such a young age. Anyways, there was a collective grief that gripped our city, in particular, also Columbus Blue Jackets, where he played, was also in the grips of this collective grief. John Gray and I corresponded a little bit on it. And his last comment in the email stream that we had was, "Grief is a gift." Mind blown. What does that mean? So I set out to explore this, and I want to play a little piece for you. I think you'll recognize the people in the interview. So Sanford, if you could put that on for me, that'd be great.
You told an interviewer that you have learned to, in your words, love the thing that I most wish had not happened.
I remember
You went
saying
on
that.
to, you went on to say what punishments of God are not gifts? Do you really believe that?
Yes. It's a gift to exist. It's a gift to exist. And with existence comes suffering. There's no escaping that.
And I guess I'm either a Catholic or a Buddhist when I say those things, because I've heard those from both traditions. But I didn't learn it that I was grateful for the thing I most wish hadn't happened, is that I realized it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, and it's an oddly guilty feeling.
I don't want it to have happened.
I want it to not have happened.
Right.
But if you are grateful for your life, which I think is a positive thing to do, not everybody is, right. And not, I'm not always, mm-hmm. But it's the most positive thing to do, then you have to be grateful for all of it. You can't pick and choose what you're grateful for. And then, so what do you get from loss? You get awareness of other people's loss.
Well, that's true. Empathy.
Which allows you to connect with that other person.
Right.
Which allows you to love more deeply and to understand what it's like to be a human being, if it's true that all humans suffer.
Right.
And so, at a young age, I suffered something so that by the time I was in serious relationships in my life with friends, or with my wife, or with my children, is that I have some understanding that everybody is suffering. And however imperfectly, acknowledge their suffering and to connect with them and to love them in a deep way that not only accepts that all of us suffer, but also then makes you grateful for the fact that you have suffered so that you can know that about other people. And that's what I mean. It's about the fullness of your humanity. Mm-hmm. What's the point of being here and being human if you can't be the most human you can be? I'm not saying best, because you're going to be a bad person and mm-hmm. a most human. I want to be the most human I can be. Mm-hmm. And that involves acknowledging and ultimately being grateful for the things that I wish didn't happen, because they gave me a gift.
Well, one of the things my mom would often say is that she said, you know, I never ask why me. Like, why did this happen to me? She would always say, why not me? Why would me be exempt from
sure.
what has befallen
sure.
everybody, countless others over the centuries? And I think that's another thing that has helped me think, yeah, of course, why not me? This is mm-hmm. part of being alive. I mean, this is.
Well, that's quite something, Christine.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate a little bit on what you feel are on that statement? What punishments of God are not gifts?
Yeah. That line is, as Stephen Colbert says later on in the video, if you want to watch the whole thing, is that line is attributed to J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote The Lord of the Rings books and Hobbit and many other books that we may be familiar with. At least Stephen Colbert is. A priest once told Tolkien that his short stories were not theologically correct because he presented death as a gift and not a punishment of sin after the fall. Mind blown for me. Tolkien wrote back to the priest saying, asking the question, what punishments of God are not gifts? If we have to be grateful for all the joy, we need to be grateful for all the rest of it. As Colbert expresses, it connects us. It connects us viscerally and very deeply. And the end game being that it would be, for me, ungrateful to not take everything as a gift.
This reminds me, Christine, of a Zoom session we recently attended. And there were some very interesting questions asked. I think you have those there.
Yes, this is part of what sparked my desire. Lloyd Meeker and his team that put on these Equinox summits and cross-quarter summits came up with these questions. It's just a couple of them here. What if our emotions contained important messages from the field? that we could not otherwise receive. What might happen if we welcomed every emotion that rose in us without distrust? Without distrust. What if our emotions were our primary points of contact with the rest of the world as we know it? That might shed some light on what's happening as a collective, I feel. So honor. Honor what comes. 'Tis a gift. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Christine, for what you've brought here today. And I see by the clock that we've used up the time we have, but we'll have to do this again sometime. So thank you, everyone. And I'm going to pass this over now to Larry.
It's been great working with Alan and Christine. I so much appreciate their humor and their presence. And as you were saying, everything can be used to advantage if we're in the right place, even grief, which is part of the world as it is now, as a way to connect and to uplift. I find these times when we're together on Zoom to be joyous occasions. When I look out at all of your faces, I'm delighted that we are in communion with each other, that we are friends and about the same purpose. It's a celebration being together. I was thinking recently about what has been called the veil. It said that these days, as there's a lifting up in human consciousness, the veil is thinning. And we see evidence of the light coming through different people in different ways. People send me quotes from various ones, which indicate increased understanding. And it's wonderful. I'm delighted to read them and see how something of truth emerges through people in different cultures with different backgrounds, often interpreted in different ways at the stage of understanding that they have at a given time. But something is changing, even as the world is in turmoil, as it is this week, economically speaking. We can be that stable presence in the midst of it all. It has been said that the veil was rent in twain by the master when he was on earth. And in my mind, I thought of the veil as a curtain, you know, that could be separated with a knife or a sword, I suppose. Indication is that the way is open for all of us to indicate the fullness of who we are. And I have a new metaphor that works for me about the veil. This past week, there was a dust storm east of Tucson brought on by high winds. And it got to be so bad that along the interstate, vision was quite reduced. And there were a number of accidents, so they had to close the interstate. North of Tucson, there are sandstorms, dust storms, that are quite severe because there's a lot of open desert there. And locally, they're even called haboobs, which is a borrowed Arabic term which describes the blinding sandstorms of northern Africa. And visibility can be reduced to zero. And that's not a good time to be on the interstate. So the state troopers suggest that if you find yourself in that situation, get off the road as quickly as you can and turn off your lights. Because if somebody is plowing ahead behind you and they can't see very well, if you've left your lights on, they might assume that you're in a lane of traffic and crash right into you, which wouldn't be good. But I see this blinding snow sandstorm as a good description of where humanity is these days. They can't see anything. There are no landmarks. They don't know where they're going. There's a complete loss of vision and understanding. Now, some would assume that God has arbitrarily created this veil so that we can't see reality. But I think we bring it on ourselves. What I mean by that is that whenever there is wrong function, when we're angry or full of envy or hatred or whatever it might be, we're out of step with what's moving from spirit. This causes a disturbance, a cross current. A little dust is kicked up. And if we lead our lives like this, moment after moment, out of step, doing the wrong thing at the wrong time, holding the wrong things in our hearts and minds, dust is kicked up all the time, and before long we can't see. If the whole body of mankind is doing this, it's like being in a blinding sandstorm. So, people not being able to see anything look for a way out. And there are those who come forth, politicians, for example, who say, "I know the way, follow me, trust in me." That often doesn't work out too well. Same with religion. Which is often based on something somebody else said centuries ago that was reinterpreted again and again and twisted this way and that. And people may believe fervently in it. Faith is considered to be a very good thing to have by many people. But the people leading the way out don't know the way out. And those who trust in those people never can ascend to a higher understanding. My interest is in the way of ascension. Now, most people's lives, not having any vision, go in circles. They mature physically and adopt certain views as they grow, many of which are inculcated in them from childhood, religious views, political views on society, and so on, social views. They accept these and carry them with them their entire lives. So that when they're 25, they basically see the world at 65 the way they did when they were younger. Nothing has changed. Life moves in cycles, and we come back to similar points. But if you haven't changed inside so that you have greater understanding, your life goes in a circle. I've spoken before about the golden ascending cycle, which is the cycle of ascension. Gold is a symbol of the divine, which is why I call it golden. But in the ascending cycle, we move around to similar situations, but face them from a higher level with greater understanding so that they can be handled differently. More in line with what's moving in spirit. Now, I suppose there are those people who put themselves on a downward trajectory, kind of a downward black spiral, and can become more coarse, more angry, more apart from the body of mankind, more desperate, and such people can have a very harmful effect, shoot up schools, do terrible things, because they're bitter and they're angry and they feel dejected. But it's all because they're on this downward black spiral, which can be a very dangerous thing. Be that as it may, that's the state of humanity right now. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice. We don't have to go down. We don't have to stay the same. We can rise up and come away, as was mentioned. I think most of the people on this call would say that because you've been moving on that upward spiral, you are not the person you were 10 years ago. You see things differently. Our bodies have changed, of course, and the world has changed, but we've changed because we've moved to a higher level of understanding, meaning that there's more of the truth of us available to our human minds and hearts with which to engage in the world. If we're the same as we were 10 years ago, then we really haven't moved upward in understanding. But if we've been moving along this upward spiral, we aren't the same person. We aren't the same person we were a year ago, or a month ago, or even yesterday, because there's continual movement, filling out in our minds and hearts and all of our capacities to greater understanding. Now, looking back, I see the great wisdom that the spiritual teachers Yolanda and Martin Exeter had in telling us that we have a choice as to the attitudes that we express. And the expression of right attitude is the easiest way right now, given the current cycle, to enter into this upward spiral. At other times, maybe there were other levels of approach. But this was the level of approach available to us now. And I remember working with Bill Bayen. We had a visual aid called the Magnetic Man. And it was a box that had a series of magnets on the back in the shape of a man. And on the front were iron filings that adhered to the design of the magnets in the back, so that when we held it up to an audience, they would see the shape of a man. And then we would take poster board that had labels on it, like envy, anger, hatred, resentment, jealousy, and put them in a slot between the front and the back. And that would weaken the control that the magnets had over the iron filings. And when we put one or two in, some of the iron filings would fall away, and we would put more in, more of the filings would fall away until the shape of the man was gone. So that people could see that if they took on these attitudes of expressing wrong spirit, it was bad for the body. We were focused on health, of course, in those days, but it interfered with who you are. It was at cross currents to the natural expression of God through men and women on earth, which is one of giving, of empathy, of joy, of delight, and being creative in the circumstance that we have. This is spiritual expression. This is the way to move on to the ascending cycle that's easiest these days. And if one is consistent in expressing right spirit, then that blinding sandstorm begins to dissipate a little bit. Some light comes through. We begin to see that there is a way forward. Oh, this is wonderful. Something has changed. And if we relax and let life have its way, because we don't know what we need to do to get out of this blinding sandstorm, we find that life lets us naturally enter a phase where there becomes a dominance of purification of the heart and of the subconscious, so that what doesn't belong there begins to recede and the heart begins to know something else. Christine talked about emotions today. This is wonderful to use emotions rightly as divine men and women, and not let it control us. saying, oh, I feel really bad today, so I'm going to be miserable. No, you don't have to. We have a choice, just as we did with right attitudes. And as the heart begins to purify, and we begin to know peace in our hearts and minds, we discover that we can begin to sense and perceive the rhythms of life. We have a deeper appreciation for what we need to do, where we need to be in step with spirit. Life is moving, but we haven't been aware of its presence. So to move up to this understanding is to rise up along that spiral so that more of the truth of us is present. And we discover as this happens, we begin to see what is real, what is part of a design of life, what is true. And even when people speak, we can sense what is true and what isn't true, what emerges from a well of their own being rather than just what they're projecting in their human state. And finally, if we are steady and allow all of these levels to come to a point of fullness in ourselves, we may know that we are love. This is the essence of who we are. And we can say in truth, I am love, or I am. And we begin to see with the eyes of love so that there's no judgment. Whatever is brought to us can be appreciated, can be used wisely, can be loved. Love is the supreme force that we know of that holds the universe together. Now, in the couple of minutes I have left, I would say that there is, in these days especially, a calling for the elect, the priesthood, to come together to be a conscious spiritual core for the body of mankind. It's not just about the individual. It hardly is. But it's very useful if there are individuals who are complete within themselves as their eternal being, expressing through the form that's available to them. I think of the presence of the sun, whose name is Sol, and therefore anything that happens from the sun is called solar, that this entity is a fiery ball in the center of our system that extends intense radiation outward in all directions. And the love that extends from this source holds all the planets and the asteroids and everything else in this solar sphere and beyond in its proper place so that it all works together very beautifully. This is what's needed if mankind is to be restored, that there be a conscious, intense core of radiation of people who are living radiantly in agreement with spirit and in agreement with each other, so that the control and the design inherent in spirit can be made manifest on earth. Everything can be transformed. It all needs to go. The whole human state is a false state. It's going to fall apart one way or the other. So if there is turmoil, it's okay. Let it be whatever it needs to be and let it work out as it needs to work out. But our job is to let ourselves rise up to be our true selves as much as we can, and to work together to let spirit bring about change. We don't have to do it, and we don't have to figure it out. So I will close with some words of wisdom expressed by none other than Meryl Streep, who said, "What is meant to leave will leave, no matter how desperately you try to hold on. What is meant to stay will find a way, no matter how uncertain things seem. Life always finds a way, even when we can't see how." There it is. Let us be our true, real selves. Let the radiation pour forth as it will, not because we need to furrow our brows and make it happen, but because that's the natural extension of living out into the world and beyond. So it's great to be together, and perhaps there are one or two who would like to offer something to our time together this morning. Now would be the time.
Well, I would. This has been so excellent and really substantial. If it had just been Alan and Christine, I could have felt like it was a full meal. But Larry, what you said at the end, just I so deeply resonate with. And you call us to what is our deepest passion. Thank you, all three. It was just excellent.
And Alan was speaking about being a detective, an intelligent life detective. Detect has two definitions: to discover and to discern. They're two different things in two different levels. And what he was talking about was people magnetizing to him because he discerned the love in them. That's my job and your job. Discern the love in anybody. No matter how many cards they have obscuring it, that lets me be razor-like, see the love in everyone.
I love the emphasis on the power of emotions. They're a big part of our life. And probably it could be we give them too much importance in the wrong direction. It seems like in these days you either have to love or hate what's going on. There's no middle road. There is a middle road, and that middle road is a very high road. The acceptance of one's emotions and the acceptance of the power to do something with them is a very, to me, high spiritual state. You don't just let things run all over the place. You don't let a misbehaving child ruin the furniture. You do what's necessary to change the mind, to change the emotions, and then peace reigns again. We don't have to get upset about anything. That is our chance to change something here. And if you change something here, it has changed on the earth. Hallelujah. Like you said, it's glorious. Our emotions are glorious. And but let's use them properly. Use them as the tool they're intended to be. Thank you so much, everyone. This was wonderful.
Well, I squeezed myself into the screen here. Just to offer my thankfulness for the fullness of expression. And Alan, Christine, and Larry, I mean, just the spirit coming through is one of being as magnificent as we can be. That sun shining does not stop. is shining all the time. It sounds simplistic, but it's not. It's all powerful. And for all of us, our deepest desire is to be the fullness of who we are. Yesterday, I was in conversation with some friends who are around my age, and we were talking about how things change in life, those stages that Larry was outlining, and how our bodies, that we've had many bodies that we've inhabited since we've been on Earth. And the typical view is everything is diminishing, it's breaking down, and it's like, whoa. But one could see that and think, oh God, I'm just going down the tubes. But that's just the opposite of what is happening in terms of the reality of who we are, is that there's the invitation to be increasingly radiant. Increase that radiation so that whatever is going to exemplify itself and reform itself has a chance to through the radiation of who we are in our fullness. And I love that. I'm not desirous of staying in a circle whatsoever, but with all of us and emphasizing the collective of what we're about, it magnifies the tone of life in a beautiful and so needed way in this particular time on Earth. So I give my great thankfulness for this hour and for your, both, all three of you, for what you brought to focus. So thank you.
Well, our time is about up. Do my co-hosts have anything they'd like to offer today at the end? Alan or Christine?
Just to say thank you all for your very vibrant listening. You're awesome. I think Alan started, my words are your words are my words. And as we continue up the spiral of life, I rejoice to know you all.
Amen. Back at you.
Alan, you're on mute, I think.
On mute. There we go. Thank you, everyone. I just got to say, these are such wonderful times. Where else would I ever want to be? So it's just been perfect. Thanks.
We are compelled to be here because where two or more are gathered, there is a magnification of the intensity that can be offered out. It's part of the job that we've come on Earth to do. It's our mission. We do it together. So I give great thanks for each and every one of you for participating in this great adventure that we're part of. We'll gather again in 2 weeks for a radiant conversation. We do have some music to take us out. Thank you, one and all.
It's very clear our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and a day. The radio and the telephone and the movies that we know may just be passing fancies. And in time they go. But, oh my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're
You gotta love Ella.
Bravo.